This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Tuesday, March 1st. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today, I'm going to try to have a sober conversation. I have two themes that I want to concentrate on. The theme of today would be basically, I just didn't know. I just did not know. And I want to know if you knew about this. And I want to know, what do you know about this? And then how can we impact, correct, fix, deal with, adjust these things that I'm going to say I did not know. You can join me also by telling me things that you found out that you did not know, that you believe that the listening audience and the Bahamas, by extension, should know. I would appreciate it. But like I say, this particular subject is dear to me because I have a friend, family, who went through this issue. And I'm going to basically try to do my best to explain in loose terms, what she went through. So this is the first part of the topic. Like I said, it's two theme topic I want to discuss, but this is the first part of the topic. In the Bahamas, we have a number of children who are in the system. And when I say they are in the system, that means they are wards of the state. They live at one of the various children's homes. The children's home, it'll be the one in Millennium Garden. I forget its name. You can always text me and tell me the name so I can say it out loudly. Then there is the Ranfurly home, which is the largest home. I'm not sure if there's the Bellini children's home is still open, right? There is one on, see, all the names start escaping me because I started this, right? There's one in Grand Bahama. I think there's one in Andrus, one in Cat Island. And of course, you can always text me, text the Guardian Radio, so I can actually state out loud the various children home or various places that children are being taken care of by the state. Now, my friend, right, she and her husband decided to adopt a young baby. Right? Before, she used to be one of those guardian custodians who would come to one of the children's home and take children out, like either for the day or the weekend, whatever it is. You know, she had to go through all kind of rigmarole to even get permission. It's a rigorous process. The Bahamas government don't allow anyone to even come to the homes because the children are their wards. They got to protect these children. So it took her a while to even be eligible, to be considered to have an option to adopt a child. She adopted a baby, not even a toddler. She adopted a baby who needed a home, her and her husband, right? And of course, she had to go through the various things that they go through to secure the child. So I was randomly checking up on the child because the child is like my godchild, like a distant. Not really, you know, but you know, because she's my friend and her husband has a child, you know, you care about the child. You ask questions about the child, how your baby doing? And no shooting breeze, the baby's doing well. You know, the middle class, they're able to supply this child with all kind of things that a child who did not have a home deserve. Right? So I asked, so is the government providing any support? Because, you know, this was their child, a ward of the state. And surely, you adopting the child can't be the end all that they severed ties with the child. It should be some responsibility the state comes. Do they come and inspect the home every 5 years to make sure the child is okay? Do they come and render aid in terms of whatever extra they could offer? Do they give you like a stipend? like for uniforms or anything like that. And I was told, no, after you have adopted the child's yours. Whatever happens to the child, whatever happens to the child. And I had a problem with that. I said, no, it can't be like that. There are scores of children in the Bahamas. I think the homes have at least about 40 to 50 people. And again, someone can text me and tell me, give me an estimate number of how many children are in these homes, right? But there are scores of children that are in these children homes, that are in these children homes, varying from infant straight to 18, 19. You know, at 18, 19, I know they rightfully have a transition period where they have housing in the back where they help those children who are in the system to live as they and secure jobs, and then they transition out altogether. But my concern, what I want to talk about, is the responsibility of the state to the rightfully home, first of all, because you know the rightfully home, whatever the government gives them is not enough, and they now depend on private sponsorship. They tend to be short at times. But number of private sponsorship tends to sponsor a child to have private school education, depending on the acumen of the child. Christmas, you know, they get various donations. They get various exposure. But a number of these children, trying to find an appropriate word, because good people listening, are dealing with various social issues. They come in from backgrounds where one or two of them were abused, background where one or two of them were neglected, background where they needed, they need emotional support, they need support from whatever medical organizations. And then I'm picturing that, right? Knowing that these children need support. And then have parents who said, man, I want to make room in my home, make space in my heart for this child to come out of the system, to have a stable environment, right? Where you need to foster the development of the child. And then you do that, and the state said, well, that's it. Thanks. Thanks for what you've done. I assume that you have the money to take care of this child, and that's it. And that's what I'm trying to bring attention to. I'm going to try have people from the rightfully home come in. But they don't like talk politics. They won't talk what's happening in the system. And I won't talk about the politics of it, that what should be happening, then what is not happening. Because I can't picture the government the government is not rendering extra support to make sure that the success of the adoption, the success of that child, is not continuous. One of the other issues I had, like again, hearing from my friend as she adopted this child, she, again, like I said, she didn't even drop a toddler. The child was like pre-toddler, pre-two, pre-one, like months, getting to be a toddler. And her husband adopt this child, and she could not get maternity leave to settle in, have the child, to say, well, this could be your new home, right? I'm going to help you find a preschool for the child, right? I'm going to child-proof the house, right? And there was no consideration that this is a new mother, right? Her first child, her and her husband's first child, right? This is a young baby with young baby needs, right? And the system did not allow her to have some time off to adjust for the child, to make sure that this adoption is successful. Now, needless to say, of course, they had no paternity leave. I mean, I think we just make room for paternity. Normally, only private entities, private jobs, used to give a week off to young daddies to say, hey, you can take a week off. Now they give you a week off, they just ain't paying you, but you can take a week off and spend time with your wife, right? Or your spouse or your loved one, right? I know that the NIB is considering paying out money for that, right? And I think there's some kind of proposal that exists, especially in terms of adoption. But I think that we need to shine light on these things. So I said I was going to take time out to shine light on this situation because it's my friend. And I think that she deserves extra support, especially making herself available, making her husband available to grow up a child to be a good, decent human being, productive bohemian, right? And I think that they need extra help. The child supposed to have some kind of social program to say, well, you drop in here. Here's a stipend. It don't have to be a big stipend. You know. What an extra $200 could do for any year, June, to say I could buy a uniform for this child. I didn't take on all the responsibility and expenses. You know, what an extra program. So, well, I'll include him in whatever government programs, ranges, get first option, you know. Things like that. And I'm saying those are not happening at law at all. I get a text here that says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. You never posted the link. I did post the link. It's on my page. Yes, I did. I posted the same time I tell you. If you go on my page, CA Nuri, you'll see the link right there. I could post it again. But as soon as I told you I was going to post it, I shared it, and it's there on the page. I hope that's a texter who's inquired about something I spoke about yesterday. All right? This text is, good morning, Mr. Nuri. My husband and I adopted an infant 20 years ago, and we got absolutely nothing. That was not a problem for us because financially we are okay. But what I would have appreciated was if they would have made it possible for me to get maternity leave to bond with my baby. See, I just finished talking about that. Yes, you're supposed to have maternity leave. Adoption should be considered the same as having a child. And I'm going to finish reading this text, but imagine if that child had some behavioral issues. And I've been listening and talking to other people who say, well, they have adopted their child and their child has some, they found out later on that the child has some behavioral issues and they got to deal with it by themselves. The institution knew that the child had behavioral issues when they put the child up for adoption. Someone should give them some support. Tantrums, violence outbursts, you know, acting out. And right? Especially when you have behemoths who are prepared to adopt and say, well, I'm prepared to work with this, but surely our government should be duty bound to help and assist. Let me finish with this text. It says, I would have appreciated if they made it possible for me to get maternity leave to bond with my baby. So I took vacation and that was not enough. So I quit my job. Ma'am, I thank you for reaching out. I thank you for embracing that child, growing up that bohemian child, and doing whatever you had to do to raise a good, decent bohemian citizen. I'm hoping that all went well with the child's development. I'm hoping that the child could even reach out back and speak to people who are still in the system, who have given up hope of being adopted, you know, let them know the journey. Someone needs to stand in the gap and remind the powers that be of what is needed to help develop children, right? Especially children who have issues. And telling the adoptive parents that, yeah, that's your child. Can't be it. Let's go to the caller here. Guardian Radio AM, Kermit, patch that caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, CA. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I just wanted to get clarification. Can I make... Is this open today?
No, it's not open today.
Oh, man. Like, something's happening in the ground bomb. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I don't know if you...
Text the text line, and then I can speak about it tomorrow. Tomorrow is open. Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller then. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hello, good morning. Good morning, pleasant day.
Good day. How you doing?
I really believe maternity leave should be granted, provided. Year after year, we do have administration after administration, and we do have a Ministry of Social Service, a Minister of Social Service, etc. So that should be on the book legislated so that provision is made for maternity leave and paternity leave,
yes,
even beyond that 1 week, and just beyond there's a private enterprise. So I am for that all hook, line, and sinker, 100%.
I was just surprised that... go ahead.
For the care of the child, I know it's a business in the state, so to speak. Persons would adopt children, and the state will provide them revenue, and then also, as it were, some people, I call it a business, so to speak, they make good on that, and so on and so forth. I'm not saying that that's the case. That would be the case here. But on second thought, I think there should also be an examination of both the adoptee,
mm-hmm,
if that's the correct word, the person, mm-hmm, who adopted the child, mm-hmm, adopter, as well as even the children homes, occasionally, you know, to see that everything is being done, the child welfare is being taken care of throughout. And I dare say also that some of our homes that are independent of the system may also need to be examined. And if those were examined, we would have much more persons being ward of the states. And that will also be an unbearable situation. But I'm happy that Lansley Home and other children home are taking good care of the children.
Yeah.
They provide sufficient resources or facilities for them. They attend private schools and they do well and so on. So I'm happy about that so far. But we need to take it up another notch to see that adoptors get maternity leave and also additional follow-up.
Yeah. And like I said, there needs to be support to make sure that the adoption is successful, that the child's interaction with their new parents is successful. So there definitely should be support. I was shocked to know that after the adoption, that's it. The state cut their ties off and just do not follow up. I was shocked.
I believe we do have a budget for it. You know, not a budget in terms of finances, but personnel. You know, social workers and also, and think they should be able to have a routine schedule to go and visit and inquire and so on. You know, so I think the responsibility is there.
Yeah. I was shocked, and so that's why I say I'm going to make a plea. Perhaps it's something overlooked. Perhaps it's a protocol or a system that exists, but they just stopped it. Right, so I'm calling that up, and hopefully the powers that be at the various children's home, especially ones on the family islands, right? Because there are several on the various family islands, who I'm not sure if the state is able to look at quickly, right, to address any issues immediately.
Yes.
But we need to make sure that a system is in place to make sure these kids are protected.
And may I add to that preschools? I think preschool also need regular internal inspection, because a lot of times the parents, you drop the children off, you never know what's going on the inside, and you pick them up on the outside. And some of them are even getting a little donation or an advance, a grant from the government for operation. So all these things need to be, as were, thoroughly supervised and attended to.
Yes, and I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, remember I said this is going to be a two-part conversation about things I just did not know. And just by having conversations yesterday, and I said I'm going to bring it up because I just did not know. Yesterday, I came across an expat. And the expat was talking to other people, but, you know, typical Bahamian, I eavesdrop and then join in on people conversation. Right, I guess that's a Bahamian cultural thing. I just injected myself in the conversation. And the expat is married. He and his wives are Bahamian citizens. And I'm not sure if it's appropriate to call them expat, even though they have Bahamian citizenship. I guess they're Bahamians now, right? With all the rights and for the Bahamas. Anyway, this expat, who's a Bahamian citizen, white, right? Bahamian citizens at least for 25 years now. They've been there. So they vested. They're Bahamian now, right? He was telling me the protocols, what he had to go through to become a Bahamian citizen. He said he sat an exam. And I said, what? He said that he sat a physical exam and flowed multiple choice questions. He had to pull an exam and list four members of parliament just to get citizenship in them. And then there was an oral exam where he had to say the pledge and sing the national anthem. So I stopped him right there and said, no, sir, that doesn't exist. I'm not sure which Bahamas you're talking about, but there's no need for you to sing the national anthem or the pledge or say the pledge. Said he gone and reiterate that explaining several questions that he had to know. Apparently, he had to sit down and get a history book and learn about the history of the Bahamas because they asked him questions about Columbus. They asked him questions about the capital of various islands. And I said, I'm not sure if he's just trying to prod me for conversation or he's being sincere. So I posted on my page to inquire whether the gentleman was trying to make fun of me or was he sincere. And I got some responses because I did not know. I did not know that there exists a test. And if there exists a test, why is the persons who are registering people now is asking for there to be a translator there for those who do not speak, Bahamians who do not speak English or have challenges communicating? When to become a citizen, you would have to know how to speak English, to either sing the national anthem, to read and interpret the questions on this test, know how to say the pledge, know how to communicate with the person who is given the exam. So I put the question, and this was the comment. This comment comes from another expat Bahamian. I need to train that. Paper Bahamian, is that appropriate? Bahamian with citizenship says, I took the test. I used my daughter's grade 7 Bahamian history textbook to study. And I also had to sing the national anthem and pledge my allegiance. I felt sorry for the then director because I am tone deaf and I am now a proud Bahamian. So from this commentary, it looks like the director of immigration is the one who administers this test, right? I get a text that says the correct word is naturalized Bahamian. Not paper Bahamian, naturalized Bahamian. I could try use that word there, right? This texter said, what language was the test in? Because I have seen plenty with Bahamian passport who can't speak a lick of English. And I'm saying that too. I'm coming across a number of naturalized Bahamians who are not fluent in English. Now, mind you, I know English is a second language. So I expect you to not speak in standard English and expect you to have some challenges with some words and pronunciations, right? But I expect you to speak English. Not, I do not understand what you're saying. I hear working. I have a work permit and cannot communicate with your boss at all. To say, well, these are the general words that I know. I think I have another one from my expat. Let me see if I can find that person right there. So this one, who is of Haitian extract, said he or she must answer 49 questions, must writing a national anthem and a pledge and sing them as well. If you don't speak English, it will be hard for you to do so. And this person who texts that is of Haitian Bahamian, right? And he was explaining his process of becoming a Bahamian citizen. He said there are 49 questions to answer. Right? And amongst the 49 questions, he had to sing the national anthem and recite the pledge. And if you don't speak English, it can be a challenge, right? But then this was the next text that says, don't forget that there are Bahamians who are born in Haiti as well. My cousin's father was born in the Bahamas before 1973 and married a Haitian woman. According to the law, they are Bahamian, but they never been to the Bahamas. And I can appreciate that note, texter. But the process of becoming a Bahamian citizen or naturalized Bahamian, you still have to go and have an application. You don't automatically become Bahamian. You go and say, I born here before I was born, or I'm entitled to Bahamian citizenship or application thereof. And when you do the application thereof, part of the application is you need to know about the Bahamas. You got to go study it. You need to know how to sing the national anthem. You know, you need to know how to pledge. And if you cannot speak English to do that, it's a problem. So I'm now thinking there's a disconnect at the passport office. There is a disconnect at the citizenship office because people, Bahamians, naturalized Bahamians of the past, are saying, yes, they took a test, right? They definitely took a test, and they had to be proficient in English to take the test. But now we're seeing, or now we're hearing, or now we have an anecdotal type of conversation when we have people who present their passport, people who are going to register to vote, right, are not able to speak English. And I'd like to know, how did they take the exam, right? I'm not faulting them of not able to speak English, because I've come across Bahamians, when I call them Bahamians, people who were born in the Bahamas, or Bahamians, I guess the word Bahamians in waiting, who grew up in various shanty towns, communities, who did not learn English because they were ducking in the system or hidden in the system where they didn't go to school, whatever it is, and they stayed in the community. So, but they're born here, right? I could picture one or two of them. But surely, to get your citizenship and they come and apply and say, you know, I feel for your what you're going through, but you need to learn basic English. You need to understand the Bahamian history, right? And if that's not happening, there's a disconnect, it's a broken system. Someone needs to fix it, and there should be checks and balances. And the people, I'm not sure if the people at the voters registration can deny someone, say, well, you don't know enough English, so I deny you, especially if they present a Bahamian passport. Because that's their job, just to look at the passport, make sure it's real and authentic, and register them. So I'm not sure if they could say, no, 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 you don't speak English. I'm not sure if the passport people can tell an applicant, well, you don't speak enough English, but I see you have all the prerequisite materials, right? And I see you putting them through. I see you born in the Bahamas, but you don't speak English. Therefore, I can't deny you the passport. But surely the person at the citizenship place. Let's go to the caller right there. Guiding Radio AM, we're talking about things I just did not know. And I want to know whether you didn't know about it and why. And how can we fix the problem? Why isn't it happening like how it's supposed to happen? Go ahead, Colin.
Not naturalized. Bahamians, mother and father Bahamian, and they have Bahamians for a long time, who cannot tell you the name of four MPs. So, and who do not attend independent service and do not participate and get involved. And also, there are many Bahamians also, a good deal amount, who don't have a passport. Talking about not the naturalized one now. The naturalized one goes.
We call them Bahamian Bahamian, you're talking about. You talk about Bahamian Bahamian. This for
right, the phrase. Well, it's not Bahamian Bahamian. We're all Bahamians. But
yeah, but for the conversation, so I can understand who exactly you're speaking with. How about?
Right.
So Bahamian Bahamians are naturalized.
That we need to do to reverence the national anthem, and the national anthem is being played. You should stand at attention and rest, even just not just to get it. Citizenship.
But let me engage you. Let me ask you this. Now, like I said, for this conversation, so people can understand who I'm talking about. A Bahamian Bahamian, meaning that they have parents, they have lineage, right?
Yeah.
If they do not know four MPs, can you take their citizenship from them?
I sometimes, you know, it's a ticklish one. But I sometimes believe that sometimes we do have
some behemoth, as you would call it, who need to be deported, but where to?
That's my point. Just where gets in them? Oh, now, let's say a behemoth, again, you're using that term for this conversation so we can separate them.
Yes, thank you.
Do not stand for the national anthem. Say, man, I ain't standing up. Should we arrest them? Lock them up?
I don't think there's a certain religion, I wouldn't want to call the name, but you may know of it, a denomination, who don't believe in Christmas, don't believe in a lot of things,
yeah,
and they don't believe in standing to the national anthem or court of arms or anything, and they are behaving. So the constitutional rights may allow them to abstain from participating in such regard.
Another question. A behemoth, using that term for this term.
Yes, no problem. Understood. Accepted.
If they do not know the national anthem, they know parts of it because they just didn't pay attention to the words, should we deport those at?
Just fictitiously, perhaps, but not in reality.
Now, let's reverse it now. Naturalized behemoth. If a naturalized behemoth do not know the pledge, how they get to be behemoth?
Well, actually, to go through the process, you have to do certain things, at least at the ceremony.
Yes. But we have now hearing anecdotal stories where the people who to the ceremony can't speak English. So they can't sing no national anthem. They can't say no pledge. They don't know who the prime minister is, right? They can't even say who's the MP of their constituency.
I have students in school who will tell me that Sir Lennon is the prime minister and things like that. So a lot of times, people find it, like the example I mentioned when I called earlier. I heard someone say this morning they've been living without light, electricity, for 1 year.
Mm.
And so that's why I mentioned that the children homes, they are well taken care of, relatively so, because there's a lot going on in society. And hardship that people don't even have the time to even think of the basic socialization and norms and nationalization and things like that.
I understand that, but if you want to be a behemoth citizen, that's what you need to do. You just have that stamp denied. And you say, what happened? You need to know the pledge.
But the point I'm making is that we need a standard for all, not just a standard for one, standard for all across the board.
One can get deported. That's my point. Only one can get deported. You can't deport persons who have great granny been here for centuries. Yeah. There's no place to deport them to. But
right.
There's a certain set of people we could deny and say, you got to go home. Those people need to make an extra effort.
Yes, correct.
Make an extra effort.
As I said, we need to be able to walk on chew gum, so we need to do both.
Yes. Thank you very much. The other day, a minister... That was Minister Keith Bell, had a swearing ceremony at the church, right? I'm not sure if the lady who he swore in spoke English. Mind you, I understand why he decided to do it, right? Because they had to do it. See? It just got me yuck up my vexation. Let's go to this caller and then go to the text. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you're live. Things I did not know. Are you there, caller? Call girl once. I have to move on to the next one.
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead, Colum.
Yeah, sound like you couldn't hear me. I agree. I think that was you saying that they should be, they have to be able to speak a little bit of English.
Just a little bit.
Be able to understand at least.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't really have a problem with the citizenship thing. But knowing you're coming that way, you could get the citizenship, but I don't think you should participate in our election.
Once you're a citizen, you got to participate.
You hear what I'm saying to you?
I hear you.
I say that's the law. I say, and I think that's how it should be.
Give them permanent residence, and then you can have that.
Huh?
We have two options: permanent residence and citizenship. I think they call it green card in the United States.
But no voting, though. You don't decide who will be the government. Yeah. Maybe your children later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we should be. I feel like we're selling out that way. I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. And you're saying things which you didn't know, right?
Yeah, things I didn't know.
But I always hear them Haitian people, right? My Haitian people, them say things like, although they have our passport and they naturalize and everything, they still say they're a Haitian. I never knew this, that the Constitution of Haiti say even if a Haitian have children on the moon, they consider them as Haitians. So it confused me a little bit with this, what you call it, nationalization.
Easy to confuse. Let me show you. Let me educate you. You know Sydney Poitier?
Huh?
You know Sydney Poitier?
Mm-hmm.
Is he
Sydney Poitier?
Yeah.
What about him?
Is he a Bohemian?
I think so. Your parents.
Yes, he is.
So parents, right?
Yeah. So imagine him being American citizen, born in the United States, right? Bohemian. So surely, a person who of Haitian extract, who.
But you didn't know that, because you're talking about things you didn't know. I didn't know anywhere. Even if they born the children on the moon, they consider them as Haitian. They get papers. That in the Constitution.
Isn't
you know
the
that?
Constitution? Yeah, isn't the Constitution?
Whoa! But well, same, how come we giving them our passport?
Hold on, our Constitution says something similar too.
Two Bohemian, hold on. Right? You got to give. You got
two different topics. Two different conversations. If two Bohemian citizens have a child anywhere in this world, guess what that child is?
Well, that's a part of the Constitution, and what I was saying is a part too, but you don't want to talk about it.
What?
The part where I was telling you, say. Are you saying anywhere they born in the world? They consider a Bohemian, that's what you're saying?
By two Bohemian citizens and children, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was telling you the part that you got to, our Constitution, must he say something that you got to give up your nationality, where you come from, if you want our passport or our nationality. And we ain't doing that. I think that the nationalization thing, what they doing, allowing them to do it, and their Constitution say where their parents come from, that even if they born on the moon, they consider themselves a Haitian. Yeah. I think a couple other countries do it, too.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Good topic, things you didn't know.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, though.
All right.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller there. Let's start reading some of these texts. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live?
Yeah, morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Yeah, I like how you reminded Papa of just the residency, right? You know, a lot. The thing is, like, the ones that deserve the citizenship that born and grew up here. But, you know, when you talk about deportation, some of these people become violent, as you saw with the Trump, the foolishness Trump was doing, right? You know, some people were really entitled to American citizenship, and really, I've known my Haitian American girlfriend. She practically left here when she was maybe single digits, and she came back in her 30s and still was deported, went to school over there and everything. But the problem for me is the our foreign policy. You know, it seems to me as if the government don't have a weak foreign policy. But all administrations thus far, right? And you look at the amount of national security as it relates to the narrative that they're passing off. You know, we were always living at peace with these people. And we're hearing all this rhetoric, you know, we all Africans. I don't know about Bohemian, we'd be all Africans. And so what you mightn't realize, right, and a lot of people don't realize, is there is an attack on nationalism and sovereignty. And so this is a way to bring in a new world order. But when you speak, you see, the thing is, what I hate is when people speak, that what people don't know of or don't believe, they tend to dismiss it and talk that conspiracy theorist BS, right? But there is an attack on nationalism. This is, they want to destroy nation states and sovereignty. This is how you think the one world government will come into place? You know, I don't know how imbecilic people are, but it seems the writing is on the wall. We saw the writing on the wall with Hubert Ingham and he invited Matili. We see our prime minister at present now in the village telling them he is me and we is you and whatever, and we is being, you know, Asian is being. But yesterday we sitting here and you're proud to be Haitian, but you don't want to go Haiti. But you want to disrespect the Bohemian people in their land, and we can't live together. You got to make it make sense, man. We're supposed to be living together normal. You know, I just don't get the schism. That's what I hate. The schism is a result of slavery, not us. So if you're intelligent, you try to live in harmony. You see what I'm saying? Like the other day when the guy passed the narrative, he didn't hear none of the good I said when I mentioned Charlemagne Peralti, right? You notice that, right? You notice that, right, Nuri?
Mm-hmm.
I did say I respect the revolution and the initial impetus it brought towards freedom in the sub-region. But see, that to show you the hatred. You know, I want anyone to call this talk show and tell me where hate gets anybody. You see what I'm saying? But we know that the government is using them as a political ploy, and we see that they were wolf in sheep clothing, willing to turn against the Bohemian people, and have a parallel society within our society. And I challenge any, you know, the thing, and I hate when you speak out, people freak out. Because they didn't want to hear the truth. But yet still, he couldn't critique me with facts.
Okay, that's true. I appreciate it. Let me read this text before I go on the break there. It said, good morning. On another note, my kids have to take an exam for the U.S. just to graduate college. And it's a serious exam. You need to know all of the presidents. This is only to graduate from their school, not even for a citizenship. And we just doing 49 questions. Something is wrong. I call us. I see you. We're going to take this quick commercial break. I'm going to go through all the texts. And see things that I just did not know. We'll be right back.
call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
This is definitely the time for BAMC to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMC, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace? With the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We're talking about things I just didn't know. I just didn't know that there is or used to be an exam that persons who taken want to have Bahamian citizenship had to go through. I just didn't know, especially in this era where we have so many people who are obtaining Bahamian citizenship who cannot speak English. So they definitely can't sing the national anthem, or they definitely can't say the pledge. They definitely can't know any MP, four MPs. I'm going to read these texts and go straight to the line. It says, the UK has a similar test for indefinite leave to remain, similar to permanent residence. There was a book you had to study. Many Brits did not know the answers to some of these questions. And knowing this Bahamas, I'm sure there are many questions about the history of the Bahamas, general civics of the Bahamas that Bahamians do not know. But Bahamians are already citizens. I'm talking about those who try and become citizens. Surely there should be an exam, some kind of pathway to become a citizen. Good afternoon. We should not allow no other person to become citizens in our country until we know how many foreigners are in our country. We must only give work permits and only permanent residence for life, right? A number of people believe that. A moratorium should be for citizenship and just give out work permits in general. Amen 52, what we need is true African liberation to free Africans. That's a text there. This text says, I think no one under no circumstances should get citizenship. Residence, work permits, spouses permits, pay your taxes. Then only Bahamian bloodline can get it, right? Okay, that's one text. Let's go to the phone line as I scan through these texts. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you live.
Hey, CA.
Hey.
You on 52 was right. It's powerful. You always right when you always say, I made a mistake. It's not citizenship, but residency or permanent residency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it should be.
Good. I understood what you meant. I understood what you meant.
Yeah, and no voting. I don't think they should should vote here.
There might be a need for a moratorium on citizenship at this present time, right? Everyone get permanent residence straight across if you're applying.
No, listen to me. If they do it when they was doing it, that's how it should have been, and that's what they should do. But they should put a hold on everything right now. Mm. Everything is too confusing. A lot of foolishness going on with our passports. We need an audit to find out not just the bad actors, the people who are selling out the country between immigration and the passport. So put a hold on all the citizenship and the residency, even the permanency for right now. Give them some kind of papers to hold on until we do an internal investigation or something like that, forensic investigation, a forensic audit there in the passport office and in immigration. Put a hold on them.
I hear you. It might be something that needs to be called for. Let's go to the next caller. I have to read this text. It says, I agree, English is a must. Even who know how to speak English, who get our citizenship, none of them, I repeat, none of them should be able to vote in our elections, and that's final. People are having anxiety about this election, right? They have an anxiety. They make the people sing. No, man. Yes, you should be able to sing. In the United States, you sing. In the Bahamas, you should be able to sing the national anthem. It's something of pride. Right, it's something of pride that you are a Bahamian. It's a big thing being a Bahamian. This is the best little country in this hemisphere. People want to become Bahamian, and if you want to become Bahamian, white, black, Asian, Jew, Gentile, you need to sing the national anthem. Let's go to the next caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Let's move on to the next caller, there, Kermit. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, Mr. Neary.
How you doing?
Right here, man. Listen. We're going to lose this country, and I say it over and over again. When you give people citizenship, see, God made the Bahamas a little small nation. We always was one of the smallest nation in the hemisphere. So that's what we should be. We should not be taking another nationality, come in this country, and giving them citizenship. That really is our hand. And, you know, you see what the Dominican Republic had to do? The Dominican Republic revoked all the citizenship they gave out from 1955. That was done a couple of years ago. And I hope we got them losing this country, because every day you look in the paper, you see an average of about 15% getting citizenship. And the majority is the people from the South. You know, so
I hear you.
Just so many elections. Many election but lose the country. That's all I can say.
Yes, sir. This text here, let's move to the next caller there, Kermit. This text say, who do they pledge allegiance to? The King Charles, like our politicians? If this person clearly is not Bahamian, because they don't know the pledge either. So text her. Clearly you don't know the pledge, because it said, I pledge my allegiance to the flag and to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, for which it stands. Like, you're supposed to know that. Why ask the question who they pledge to? Either you know the pledge or you don't know the pledge. Don't text me foolishness. Let's go to the next caller. There. Guardian Radio AM, you live?
I call the show.
You live on the show? I can actually hear you in the background.
Hello, Guardian Radio?
Yeah, man, you the CA. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Mr. Nuri, how you doing, man? All is well?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Tip-top shape, man. Mr. Nuri, the thing is, let me talk about citizenship, right? You said that the persons who want to be citizens of the Bahamas, they can't answer the question, right? The humans can't answer the question either, right? We said that too. But watch this now, right? If you're a citizen of the Bahamas, right, would you die for the Bahamas?
If a war comes, and they
when
a war comes and people and you have no other choice but to defend your country, of course you have to die for the Bahamas. Either that or you could die. Or you could die anyway. You got to go to war. War is war.
Okay, good. Okay. Why do you think that Bahamians can't answer the questions that the people who want to be Bahamians, some of them can't answer? Why do we can't answer the questions?
Because they're not interested. That happens around the world. I know some Americans who do not know that Columbus did not discover Columbus, Ohio. They just lost.
But you want my answer, sir?
Go ahead.
Even Hitler knew this, right? Indoctrination, right? We don't indoctrinate our youth. Like, okay, schooling in the Bahamas is a must. It's illegal not to be in school at a certain age. So why aren't we indoctrinating our children into Bahamianism, if that's still a word? You know what I mean? I think we have to teach our children what it is to be Bohemian, as opposed to them going up on watching the televisions all day. You know, we have to do a better job in indoctrinating our children.
Mm.
And that's why you see people come over here, they do what they want to do, Bohemians. They just sit by idly, throw garbage out the window, cursing and carrying on.
I yield to you.
You understand what I'm saying? We need to indoctrinate our children.
I yield to you, yeah.
That will have a better Bahamas. I think that's where it starts.
I yield to you. I yield. I believe we need to do a better job in Bohemian pride and what it is to be Bohemian and what is our duty to the country.
Yes, sir. Yes,
part of that duty is knowing the pledge and singing the national anthem. I agree.
Right, but even a national service, a national service for these kids to know, look here, this is what Bohemian does. This is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, you see this happening, you know, you don't want people to berate your flag or say things about the Bahamas. You have to defend your country.
Yes.
But the kids now, everybody's so Americanized, not everybody, but most people are on the fence. And whatever goes, goes.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
You're the kid right now to name the top five Bohemian singers in the Bahamas right now. If you say KB or RV or Ancient Man, they might even know who those people are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tell them about Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce, sorry.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So we have to indoctrinate our people, man.
I hear to you. I appreciate you calling, man. Thank
you, sir. All right.
Okay. Let's go to the next caller. This text says, Mr. Nuri, the government provides assistance for foster children. However, when a person adopts a child, the person takes on sole responsibility for the child. The government regards the adopted child the same as a natural born child to parents. I understand that, but I think there needs to be support for those parents to make sure that the child is protected always. It don't have to be real money, you know. Just programs to make sure there's a successful adoption period. That's what I think. We should only give citizenship to persons who are investing and bringing jobs of over 100 persons if they are vetted. That's being a demographic. You don't want no poor citizens. You want foreign, bright-skinned citizens. I see where you're going, Dexter. I see where you're going. Let's go to this caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live, caller.
Hey, Nui, what's up?
Rachel, man, what you saying?
Hi, good, man. Let me just connect the two powers that you made on the show. By saying, since you were talking about child adoption and was not, can somebody who doesn't have a citizenship adopt a child from this country? No, right?
I don't know how you can adopt a Bohemian child and you own Bohemian. That's something to consider, but I don't know. I don't know if you could adopt a Bohemian child and you own Bohemian.
I was trying to figure that out myself. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
But then the emergency hostel, that's another institution for children, if you didn't know that.
Thanks very much. I was trying to remember the names. I appreciate that.
Yes.
But thanks again. I appreciate your call, man. I appreciate that call. Let's read these texts as it's time to go. It says, good day, CA. We are too hypocritical as a society. How can we speak against granting of citizenship when almost every Bohemian has a relative who migrated to the United States and Canada and are now citizens of those countries? What do we do? What we do need is tighter regulations and clarity on what are requirements to be qualified for a possible approval for citizenship. So let me see if I can read one more text. We should ensure that people selected for naturalization, residency, or citizenship should be of value to the Bahamas. What skill set are they filling? How can they contribute to the uplifting of the nation? For example, we can use mathematics and science teachers. We need some teachers. Like I say, we need to import and make citizenship of all of Guyana. All them teachers there, just say, man, y'all come this way. Yes, Papa, yes, we need to stop and take stock before we lose it all. All Bohemians should speak Bohemian. We are very small, that's why. We should only give citizenship to people who are investing in the Bahamas. We said that already. Let's see, make sure. Say, what would Bohemians do if somehow a generation of original Arawaks come and said they wanted their land back? God didn't give us this land. Atrocity did. If they come from the dead, I say, give them Arawaks back the land if they come back from the dead. Good day, Brother Neary. The narrative of invasion in the Bahamas is very real, and our government is guilty. We need a new direction to save the Bahamas for Bahamians, as declared by the Queen. Now, look how you mentioned the Queen. This new leadership would create such betterment for the future of the Bahamas. Anyway, Grand Bahama, fully support thereof. Say that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.